This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. Finally, a Friday here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us on the Generic Live Show. We've had a jam-packed second hour for you, so we're not going to waste any more time. And let's jump straight into it. A lot of people have a lot of things on their itinerary, actually, this coming season. That's a perfect time to end that song. Thank you. Thank you, me. By the way, I produce the show. I do have a few lackeys who help me put news stories together, but I run this ship like it is my own, by the way. It is so good to just run things. I know how things are run around here. But anyway. Meanwhile, Pope Francis is in Mexico. But whatever reason, okay, by the way, why? First of all, why is the Pope in Mexico? This segment, by the way, is full of why? It's going to be full of that, by the way. It's going to be full of why. It's going to be full of why, this segment. Full of why. Pope Francis was interviewed in Mexico in regards to what he thinks of the US election campaign. I know a few Christian people. I have a good friend of mine who is Christian, and I also have Catholic friends, which is what I was thinking about, but, I have a few Catholic friends, and I have a few Christian friends. My upbringing was Christian / born-again Anglican, but I hate it when Pope Francis decides that he's going to just go to Mexico, first of all. I never knew Mexico was a Christian country, first of all. And why is he not going to Christian or religious countries like Vanuatu, who still believe in, not necessarily the Pope, but believe heavily in Christian values? Why is he not going to countries like that are appealing to that sort of market, by the way? They are friendly to that sort of market, so he would do just fine in Vanuatu. But that's not the question here. The question is, what... Anyway. He was responding to a quote. He's throwing out the claim that Donald Trump is not a Christian because of immigration policies. Quote, anyone, whoever he is, who wants to build walls and not bridges is not a Christian, the pontiff told journalists in his return journey from a trip to Mexico. He went to Mexico. Mexico. Vote, don't vote, I don't middle, but I simply say if he says things, this man is not a Christian, the pontiff said. We need to say if he really said them for this, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. That's your job, dude. That's your job, dude. Your job. This is ridiculous. That's your job, to give people the benefit of the doubt. But anyway, despite that call for Pope Francis' remarks to do swift and angry condemnation from the billionaire tycoon. For a religious leader to question a person's faith is disgraceful, Mr. Trump said in a statement delivered on his campaign stop in South Carolina. I'm proud to be a Christian, and as president, I will not allow Christianity to be consistently attacked and weakened. I hate to say it, folks. Note it down. Friday the 19th of February, 11:10 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time Zone. I agree with Donald Trump. That I don't know the man's faith, and I don't know him personally enough to know the man's faith, but he's kind of right. He's kind of got a point here. That the Pope shouldn't be that attacking people. Pope Francis, no, and I want that to sit with you for a while. I said that. Dale Campbell said on GLS on the 19th of February, 2016 at 10:10, 11:10 a.m. Not 10:10, 11:10 a.m. We're an hour two now. Dale, wake up, wake up. That I agree with Donald Trump in terms of this, by the way. And I don't agree with a lot of what Donald Trump says, for the record. But I do agree in this situation because, it's just wrong to say some of this stuff. But anyway. Oh, I've just figured out while he was in Mexico. It just occurred to me. He was doing the thing with the Zika virus. And key points from the Pope's speech. Pope says he's not a Christian. Pope says Trump's not a Christian. Comments stem from Trump's views on immigration. Trump says the remarks were disgraceful. Ta-da! Welcome to, like, 4 months ago. But anyway, but the big question is, Michael Vincent says that does analysis. He's the US correspondent for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. He analyzes this and says, "Will Trump v. versus Francis affect the polls?" The absolute maelstrom around Donald Trump has only gotten much bigger as they've headed into South Carolina's primary, where he's counting on the evangelical vote. There's a national poll out saying that Senator Ted Cruz passed him, but he's been the front runner for the Republican campaign since he began in June last year. BTW, side note, that poll is an outlier poll because there were three polls out of the US this morning that said that, two of which said that Trump was in the lead.
Just.
And one said that Senator Ted Cruz was leading. Mind you, I wouldn't put it past that Senator Cruz is the front runner in a lot of those Bible states. He won New Hampshire, came second in Iowa. He's heading into South Carolina with a 15 to 20% lead on some people. If the polls bear out, he's going to win that, and I don't think many Americans are going to be too upset. At least people that would potentially support Donald Trump. That some guy who lives in Rome is the leader of the Catholic Church attacked their guy, their man. Their bulwark against the elite, so to speak. Which that's not a stone throw away too far away from the truth. However, that saying goes. That's not too far away because that's true. That's the type of Donald Trump supporter, by the way, is the I'm going to defend this man on all accounts, no matter if he has done wrong or if he hasn't done wrong. That is not a stone throw away from the truth, unfortunately. Fortunately for Donald Trump, I don't think that that is too much away from that is too far away from the truth. Meanwhile, oh wow, there's more on this one. Oh, here we go. Oh, it gets interesting. The new Pope is a humble man. Very much like Ah, that was a. That is a. From Donald Trump. Anyway, Mr. Trump was backed by the head of the world's Christian university, Jerry Falwell Jr., who, in response to the spat, went on CNN and appeared to liken Trump to Jesus. Donald Trump does not wear his religion on his sleeve, but I believe he's a man of faith, he says. I can only quote Jesus Christ, who said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Jesus called the religious elite of his day hypocrites, a generation of vipers who called them wolves in sheep's clothing. So if what Donald Trump said was bad, then what Jesus said is bad because Jesus questioned religious leaders who judged others, and that's what exactly what Donald Trump said in his comments today. Okay. Other candidates jumped in and said this as well. Rubio said, "If I hadn't seen his, I haven't seen his statement, but if I'm an elected official of America, and our number one obligation is to make the people safe, and immigration is systematic." That, Mr. Rubio said. Bush said, "That's not an unchristian thing to do to make sure that people don't come across our border illegally." So, there you go. It's just a thing to do. But that's the thing, though, because Rubio didn't see the statement, so. Oh, excuse me. Rubio didn't see the statement, so that's a candid response. Fair candid response, by the way. So I don't want to take too much away from too much away from him on that one. And Bush basically seems to support that. So I don't know what's going on in this race anymore. I just feel like going into a ball and just going, make this all be over. Can we have like everyone shut up and do their own thing and make you want to melt? Do you make you want to melt? Quick little anecdote before we take the break, because I only have a couple of minutes here, a minute here before we have a break. It is sweltering. Gosh. The last couple of days have been 100-degree days. Of course, I'm sitting in the studio here at the moment. Can't have the fan on, but I'm gonna. I'll be fine for the rest of this show because there's not really that much left on this show. But oh, it's heading up there for 11 o'clock in the morning. It's decay. Where are we at the moment? Can we do a live weather check? 11:18. Where are we? 33 degrees Celsius. Oh dear Lord. Ugh. Boiling. Anyway, sweating or not, perfect heat. We continue here on GLS, here on a Friday. Finally, a Friday here on the Genetic Live Show. As we continue, we have quite a big story, actually. Village Roadshow and Foxtel will launch a fight against piracy. They will fight for a right against piracy. Extent will they go to? Find out as we continue. 10, 11, no, 10. Hour 2, Dale. Get it in your head. 11:19. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. For this type of place, you're tired of and crazy, sinking in your fight. Too many runaways, just staring up the night. So when you hear this song, remember. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday, finally a Friday here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us on a Friday. I just wanted to make that play. You know. It's a great cover. It's Phone Calls from Home. We Built This City. I don't know why we don't play more of music than we're actually allowed to play. It just happens. Yeah, I don't know. We normally do try and play it safe here on GLS. Sometimes we go outside of the realm and play other music apart from royalty free. But if you've got a song that you want us to play, I think I might have to just clip that out, by the way. That was brilliant, by the way. I might have to go out. I'll isolate that out. That was so good. In the middle of a word. If you've got something that you want to play, you can email thechefwonder, thechefwonder, @gmail.com. Put GLS in the subject outline, so we can get to it a lot quicker. That way it gets filtered through easier. So slamming doors aside, thank you for joining us. Village Roadshow and Fox Solo are fighting for their right against piracy. Village Roadshow and Foxtel are leading separate actions in the Australian Federal Court to block piracy websites, which enables users to watch Hollywood blockbusters such as Star Wars and local dramas, including Wentworth, for free. Two actions are to be first taken to the Federal Court under the Copyright Amendment Online Infringement Act, passed by Parliament June of last year. We talked about that ad nauseum here. Village Roadshow and its backers, including Hollywood Studios, Disney, Warner Brothers, Paramount, Universal, Sony, 21st Century Fox, are seeking to block Solar Movie, a site which has been blocked under similar laws in the United Kingdom and just this month in Singapore. Foxtel is lodging to block websites including the infamous torrent site The Pirate Bay. Again. Sources in the music industry say they fully intend to make the important remedy introduced by the government last year. Australian legislation allows right holders to apply to a federal court judge to have overseas websites that primary for creating copyright infringement blocked. They should the application be successful, the ISPs like Telstra, Optus, TPG, and Doodoo will be required to block access to the infringing sites. It would not see Australians using the sites be prosecuted, just simply working, unless they're on a VPN. Incentives are needed for Village Roadshow co-executive Graham Burke. He told Fairfax Media that blocking the sites needed to be accompanied by two incentives. Quote, the legislation needs to be accompanied by sincere, passionate communication to win people over, and we have to continue providing a product in a timely and affordable way, Mr. Burke said. A Foxtel spokesperson said that it applied for the injunction to block unauthorized access to content created for and by the pay TV provider. Quote, these sites enable people to steal shows such as Wentworth, A Place Called Home, and Open Slather. Quote, the writers, directors, actors, editors, costume designers, and many others of the right to be appropriately rewarded for their creative efforts. Each of these sites have been subject to blocking orders and other judiciaries. So, yeah, a holistic strategy is required. While the arguments have been made that the introduction of streaming services such as Netflix and Stan, which are 50-50 owned by Fairfax Media and 99 Entertainment, Stan is owned 50-50 by Fairfax and 9, Presto, a joint venture between Seven West Media and Foxtel, have helped fight piracy. Screen Producers Australia Chief Executive Matt Dina said that there's still a problem. Screen Producers Australia still believes a holistic strategy is required to tackle piracy, one that introduces public education, promotion of legal alternatives, and a pathway to stronger enforcement, Mr. Dina said. The launch of this case today is evidence that piracy still continues to be a significant commercial threat and cannot be taken lightly when there is so much at stake. It's not just jobs and investment, but also very foundational which content people are stealing is built. I will agree with Mr. Dina there, unquote. Mr. Dina there, I'd agree with you because this type of thing, the piracy, is encouraging people to steal content. And that is being encouraged still to this day. So we have to come up with a solution that kind of covers all of the bases in terms of getting things to a point where we've got not a healthy balance, trust me. We get a balance in the affirmative for the content creators at least. But you've got to think of this as well. We've got more and more people releasing TV shows and stuff making TV shows exclusively on platforms like YouTube. How are the big giant production houses going to be competing with those people? You've got to think of that as well. So you've still got the, it's all good and well for people to attack the court, well, not attack the court, but lodge these claims against for to the blah, blah, blah. Can't find my words today. Do that to the courts and that sort of thing as well. But how are we going to have the other side of that coin flip when people are, of course, seeing this in the media and go, well, they want to keep the content more locked up. People are seeing that, and people are thinking that is the more of the way to go is to, well, they want to put things on a lock, so therefore I'm going to go through the back door. Leap them. As we continue self-censorship, as we continue here on GLS, thanks for joining us here on a Friday with Dale Campbell. I'm Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us. As we continue, not many people know this about the US political race, but we know that people go to primary elections and win delegates. But no one really knows what delegate system. Also, before we get to that though, before we get to pretend I'm dumb about super delegates, we'll get to President Obama, the story from earlier this hour. President Obama wanting to go to Cuba. First time in the Civil War. Really hardcore at the moment to take a break. Let's continue. It's 11:33. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the generic live show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday, finally. A Friday here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. A nice little grooving trap for your Friday morning. 11:37. Good to be here with you this morning. Thanks for joining us. Won't be saying this morning for quite much longer. I'm back out of time slot, baby. Oh, yes. Alright. Alright, that's enough. That's enough of that. Alright. Thanks for joining us on GLS. This is why I'm not a regular DJ host, by the way, because I do not have the voice for it, particularly today. My voice, it seems a bit whiny than normal. I do apologize. I have not stopped talking since Wednesday morning. I just sometimes it's been so damn hot here. I was just during the ad break. I do sometimes get up and up and around. I up and moving just to try and keep the blood circulation. We're up. I'm doing this for American conversion. We're at 110 right now. So where I am, so it's ridiculous. That'd be over 40 degrees. Where are we? Settings. 43. So it is quite ridiculous at the moment. So I don't know how I'm gonna last. Really don't. I'm gonna die on the air. Before I die, I'm gonna tell you about President Obama. So that this will probably make me die even more. President Obama will end decades of Cold War hospitality and mistrust by visiting Cuba in March. President Obama will be the first U.S. president to visit Cuba since 1928. Next month, I will travel to Cuba and advance our progress and efforts to improve the lives of the Cuban people, Obama wrote on Twitter on Thursday. So today, yeah. He will meet Cuban President Raul Castro, but not his 89-year-old brother Fidel, who, after the 1959 Communist Revolution, became one of Washington's most notorious bogeymen and a target for numerous assassination plots by the CIA. As Fidel's health declined, Raul took over the presidency and was officially elected in 2008. Ben Rhodes, Obama's deputy national security advisor, told reporters at the White House, quote, "I don't expect him to meet with Fidel Castro." Raul Castro is the president of Cuba. Recently meet President Castro. Obama will meet civil society advocates, entrepreneurs, and, quote, "Cubans from all different walks of life," Rhodes added, and a historical speech to the Cuban people is expected. Quote, "I certainly think he would want to look for some opportunities to address the Cuban people." Obama has promised to push hard for the lasting accomplishment in his final year in office and defined traditional prospects of lame duck presidency. Normalizing relations with Cuba, the nuclear deal with Iran, a likely first paragraph of any analyst in his foreign policy legacy. Anyway, which he'll be down there on the 23rd and the 24th of March. Anyway, good on him, I guess. I don't understand. Yeah, nothing's changed. What has changed on in terms of Cuba? What has changed in terms of doing things for the American people? What has Cuba done for us in the last 9 months? How long ago was it announced that we would be going to that Cuba would be opening up an embassy, a U.S. embassy in Cuba? I don't remember how long ago that was. Someone remind me. Meanwhile, superdelegates! The segment I've been really looking forward to. So, Hillary Clinton should be winning. America's former first lady, or front lady, and secretary of state has a clear path to her partner's presidential nomination. She's rolling in cash, wielding a ruthless, efficient campaign machine with facing just one rival, Bernie Sanders, and a 74-year-old who has openly described himself as a socialist and a socialist country on earth. Let's compare Hillary Clinton's last run for president in 2008, when she was caught off guard by the historical candidacy of Barack Obama. This time it should be easy, but Clinton is struggling. 9 days ago, Sanders walloped Clinton in New Hampshire primary ranking 151-95. In other words, the woman rightly perceived as Democrats' only viable nominee just for president, just conceded more than 60% of the vote to a rank outsider. There are a few reasons that crashing defeat. Hillary fans stressed in New Hampshire that has fewer minority voters than other states, making it a natural fit for Sanders. Clinton's critics pointed to the signs to voters don't trust her. Where Sanders led that exit poll 92-6. Whether it's caucuses, the effort of Sanders' triumph was stark. The first two contestants to primary campaign, raping. And he now leads nationally 56-42. So there's that. However, Clinton and Sanders gets interesting when they're compared delegates. Let's break that down. So earned delegates in total delegates so far. 394 for Clinton, 44 for Sanders. Sanders has earned more normal delegates, 36-32, whereas Clinton's earned more super delegates than. Understandably, Sanders fans aren't happy. In their view, Clinton is being propped up by the party's unrepresentable establishment at the expense of an outsider with the support of ordinary Democratic votes. At the time of this writing, 19th of February at 8:56 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. There are two petitions. Move on. By the activist group, move on. This process is undemocratic and fundamentally unfair to the Democratic primary voters, the group, as Director Aya Shearman said. Democracy only works when vote of people. Not a decision of a small number of elites. Superdelegate must stand with voters in honor of their outcome in primary and caucuses country. The party's base simply does not tolerate anti-democratic efforts by superdelegates. What the will of the people. More neutral voices are pointing out that Clinton's structural advantage. If you were a Sanders supporter, you might think it's profoundly unfair. And you'd be right. It is profoundly unfair. Stats guru Nate Silver wrote on 538. Superdelegates were created in part to give the Democratic Party elites an opportunity to put their finger on the scale. It isn't about to get any better for Sanders either, according to The Hill. Clinton can count on support for over half of the superdelegates in Nevada and South Carolina, which those states are voting on Saturday. Sanders himself isn't complaining. He's counting on the repeat of Clinton's long, tough campaign against Barack Obama, in which she also raced to an early lead among superdelegates, but then watched many of them deflect to Barack Obama. They realized Obama was going to be the nominee anyway. Quote, if we continue to do well around the country, and if superdelegates' main interest in life is to make sure we don't have a Republican in the White House, if they understand I am the candidate who is best suited to defeat the Republican nominee, I think they'll start coming over to us, Sanders told CBS Sunday. Democratic National Committee, which oversees the party primaries, is also playing down the importance of superdelegates. Ultimately, each state's delegation is comprised of a diverse group of citizens like you and the Democratic leaders you elected, Denise Traylor, the committee's director of party affairs and delegate selection, wrote last weekend. So, but it's interesting. because yeah, these super delegates are way more, they play a way bigger role in this process than the voters do. So what I'm understanding is that these super delegates have more of a role. They kind of play into the hands of the candidate, but they sound like they're fully flexible. As to say, they're not necessarily pushovers, but they will go to whatever's going, if that makes sense. They'll go to whatever, whoever is the most popular people of a person of the day, if that makes sense. Which is fair. I mean, you know, you don't want to throw your, if you're a super person, you don't want to be supporting a loser. I can understand that. You want your name to be a part, you want your name to be a part of someone who is going to win. So, all fair game, love and love in politics, I guess. So we continue here on GLS, here on a Friday. A tumbleweed is causing a bit of a havoc. Maybe causing some rough. We'll break it down for you as we continue here on GLS. Thank you so much for joining us here on GLS for a Friday. Finally, a Friday here on GLS. Whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive, we do appreciate your listenership. 11:49. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday, finally. A Friday here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with my weird voice thing today. I don't know why it has been such a. It's fine. I'm feeling a lot better. Once I start talking in the morning, it kind of dies down. But it's still. My throat feels like it's saying, "Help me!" Yeah. But thank you for tolerating it this long. We want to remind you of a couple of announcements we've made in the show before we get to our final story. Remember, Saturday, 19th of March, 6 to 8 a.m., youtube.com/genericliveshow. There will be a local programming show, kind of a test for special election coverage of the Cairns local council elections. I know, I'm covering it. Yeah, it does what it is, what it is. Breakfast radio at its finest. It is what it is. Also, we are doing a homecoming show. I'm going to go back to my hometown of Dalby, Queensland. It's about 3 hours west of Brisbane in Queensland. Going back down there, catching up with a whole bunch of family I've not seen in years. So we're going to be doing a show about family and friends and the importance of friendship, the importance of all that sort of fun stuff as well. And I'm going to be going down there. We're going to be doing a GLS from the town of Dalby. Whether it's going to be live, I don't know. If there's no demand for that, I don't know if Dalby has radio or what's the story there. But I just wanted to remind people that the tentative date for that we're working on is July or early August. Got a couple of other things in the works for July, so we want to see how those pan out first. But that this is a definite July or early August. I'm actually more leaning towards early August, but anyway, well, that depends. But we'll confirm details of that as we're going along here. Speaking of, as we're going along here, we want to get to this final story, of course. Perna's town of Wallangatta in southeast Australia has been deluged by a tidal wave of tumbleweed this week. Residents believe that piles of wispy weed are coming from unkept paddock on a nearby farm, where Penicillium effinism, a type of long tufted grass, is growing unchecked. Penicillium effinism, you might be tickled to know, means hairy picnic. Or hairy panic, sorry. Or picnic. Hairy pin, hairy picnic. But Parner is not the only one for hysteria. Like many neighbours, or many of his neighbours, he is approaching the tumbleweed takeover of his town with a texture of resignation and bewilderment. This is a first world problem. It's a first world problem. We don't need to put it on the scale with any famine or poverty that is going on in the world, he told the ABC. I'm sure farmers have dealt with this for years. It's just nice to know that people know about it, understand and sympathise with it. Plus, it might be an opportunity to put Wallangatta on the map. Perhaps a town could become a mecca for goat owners or a hub of scarecrow production. We are looking forward to ways to capitalise on this thing, Perna said. Perna, referring to Jason Perna, Tumbleweed Man responsible for the tumbleweed. Tumbleweed Man. In photos, the tuft of the hairy picnic look delicate and practically dysmorphous. Grosma stands for yellow-gold grass that settles in clouds around buildings and against fences. But close up, the stuff is just dissonance. Weird, long, complicated story, trying to be all complicated. I spent 8 hours yesterday cleaning up the tumbleweed, Wallangatta resident Cherry Langard told Australia's 7 News. She opened up the gate to her yard where the weed piled waist high. And this is what we've got today, Langard told her held her hands out in expression. It's physically draining and mentally more draining, added a neighbour, Pam Twinklet. Or Twitchlet, rather. The hairy panic comes around every year, and it's an epidemic that's part of Australia. But this summer, it's been particularly bad, 7 News reported, because the conditions have been so dry. According to the ABC, the local council held an emergency meeting to discuss the tumbleweed troubles. It's considering sending street sweepers to assist the cleanup, and also call in county fire authority. The weed does not pose a fire risk, according to reports. And the local veterinary surgeon, Richard Evans, told BBC it's not toxic to animals once it's dried out. It just makes a hell of a mess, apparently. So, thank you, Tumbleweed Man, for making millions and millions of... No. Tens and tens of people's life. No, I grew up in a country town, so that's why I brought this story up. Tumbleweeds. We had a few tumbleweeds, but not... Nothing too significant when we grew up. It's just, we're thinking of you, Wallangatta. We're thinking of you. As we continue, we don't continue because we're out of here. Thanks for joining us. GLS. We'll see you all next week. It's 11. Keep doing that. The time is now 12:01. This has been a Chef Wonder Media production. For more, visit chefwondermedia.net. Delivered fresh to your ear holes. Copyright 2016. This podcast is a part of the Geek.io Media Network.